Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Zuno Group Limited Full Year Results Conference Call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question via the phones, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. If you wish to ask a question via the webcast, please type your question into the Ask a Question box. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Paul Hislop, Managing Director. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's Paul Hislop here, and I've got Paul Ravlich with me as well, who's the Group CFO. So we'll start on the presentation. The first few pages are a bit irrelevant, so we'll go straight through to slide five. Okay, which is the business highlights. Revenue for the year, $38.3 million. The EBITDA is $23 million. The EBITDA is $20.6 million. So big improvement on the year before, obviously. You'll see we've got a margin of around 74%. Net assets of about $21 million and stock of about $13 million odd. So we're well placed financially. We've got plenty of cash in the bank, and even after paying the dividend, we'll still have $8 or $9 million in the bank still. There's just some pretty graphs that Paul put up together, so it's nice and easy for everybody to understand. I won't sort of go into those too much because they're quite easy to follow. Cost of sales just under $10 million, revenue 38, operating expenses about $8 million. Healthy net profit. There's the comparisons. Once again, the blue line is pretty spectacular compared to other years. Blue lines again, way up there, slide eight. Business highlights, the gross profit margin improved dramatically up to 74%. A lot of that's to do with growth, obviously, and manufacturing economies. I run a pretty lean ship. We're not overstaffed. We're probably a little bit understaffed, so everyone works harder. Paul will attest to that.
Yes.
So the turnaround there and the profit as well, slide 10. Slide 11 is the share price. I hope a lot of you bought in when it was under 10 cents, because if you did, you've had a wonderful return. I think it was the top performing share in Australia last year. It was either number one or two. So we've had a good year out of 3,500 companies. We were right up there on top. Some of the customers you'll see as we've grown the business, we're starting to get more names in there. A lot of the names we can't really talk about. I'd love to, because they're global companies, but they're some of the ones that you'll be familiar with. We get on to the financial information now. So I'll pass over to Paul Ravlich now, and he can go through this part.
Thank you, Paul. So as Paul said, we've had a FY20 EBITDA, operating EBITDA of $20.6 million. That was a 944% increase over FY19, which was a stellar result. We've had an improvement in total revenue of $36.5 million over FY19, which was a 2,057% increase. And with EBITDA, as I said, $20.6 million and a 944% increase. Net profit after tax is $16.7 million. Again, an excellent result and an excellent turnaround. Our gross profit has improved substantially due to the fact that we're a volume business, and when we have volumes and in the right product mix, we can achieve very good margin. So that was at 74% for the year, and that was a 27.9% percentage improvement over the previous year. So if we move on to the next slide, the balance sheet, a very strong balance sheet. We have sufficient capacity to fund growth. Net assets is 21 million compared to FY19 of 3.8. That's a 17.2 million improvement. Net cash, and we all know that cash is king in a business, went from 3 million to 10.3, a 7.3 million improvement. I think what's particularly good about our result for this year is our strong capital efficiency metrics, with a return on asset of 48%, return on equity of 79%, and net tangible asset at 20.9 million. That brought about a 12.81 cents per share NTA and a 10.2 cents EPS. The earnings per share diluted were 10.13% cents, and that was an improvement over negative 1.48 previous year. So we're in a strong balance sheet with a lot of room to grow the business. We're a low capital investment. Our working capital has been actively managed with a strong focus on cash flow, and that's been demonstrated in our results. As Paul said, we've got a high investment in inventory of 13.2 million, and of course that has reduced our cash reserves at year end, but it's put us in a great position to supply our customers. Majority of our customers are 50% cash up front on placing the order and 50% prior to delivery, with terms for the rest of our client base. As I said before, we're a low capital intensive business, despite investing in the concentration plant in the US, which is circa 170K. That will allow us to place less reliance on our suppliers. So looking at the key metrics of FY20, in terms of our group revenues, B2B, 30.4 million, representing 79% of our total revenue. B2C, 5.7, which is 15%. And animal health, 2.2 million, which is 6% of our overall revenues. So an excellent result from animal health. It's just a young business that started out, but they're doing particularly well locally and around the world. So our geographical revenues, and we've broken that into Australasia, Australia, New Zealand, Asia, China, India, North America. Our B2B was 20.1 million, which was a 75% share of the total revenues. B2C at 5.1 million and animal health at 1.7. So 26.9 million for those regions. And in UK and Europe, an excellent growth for the company compared to their prior year, 10.3 million in B2B, 0.6 million in B2C, animal health at 0.5 million and overall 11.4 million. So excellent result for EU and the UK. So just breaking some of our metrics down for the business and how we look at the insights and how we analyse the business moving forward and what are the key drivers. Revenue, 5.1 million for B2C, so our online business. Average order size is New Zealand $145, and that represented 35,000 orders for last year. Units sold, 185,000. And the average unit per order was 5.2 items. Looking at the B2C for UK and Europe, revenue of 610,000, average order size of $89, orders at 6,827, units sold 14,694, and average units per order 2.15. So plenty of room to grow in the UK and Europe, where the average order size is a lot less than we're achieving in Australasia. So now that finishes my part. I'd like to pass back to Paul Hislop.
So back onto the strategy and the growth. And look, I'd just like to explain to people that we've only scratched the surface on the spend, to be honest. When you look at the potential upside in the B2C in the UK and Europe, for instance. We've got a long way to go, but we got hit hard in January, the end of January when this thing started. I was actually out on a boat at the time, catching a tuna of all things, and my phone started to go. So immediately I started to lock down raw material and bottles and plastic and things that I thought we were going to need, and we did. And so most of this happened in the last 5 months, really. Let's just look at what we're going to do in the future, okay? Because we're underway now. We've got revenues. We're underway. We've got a lot of brand recognition globally now. So we need to work out how we can drive this firm for all it's worth. So we want to continue to grow and partner with global and national organizations, companies that have existing sales teams, warehousing, customer bases. So what we can do is we can just tap into their market, train their key people, train their sales people, help put together sales kits and send them out into the field. So some of the customers that we are dealing with in the US at the moment, large companies have 300,000 customers that we can sell to. So this is the way to go. It would be impossible for us to build our own sales team and go after all these people ourselves, so we just tap in. In the B2C market, we want to invest more heavily in the UK, Europe, obviously. We've also gone on to Alibaba in China as well. We've launched there in a few days, and we're going to launch also on JD.com as well. So we are really going to be ramping up B2C in the key markets, India and the Middle East as well, obviously, South Africa, USA. We launch a new website in the US on November the 1st, and we plan to really ramp up our US sales. And we're going to develop some new products as well. We're working on a mask at the moment, Zuno-treated mask, and there'll be some other things. And we're working on a nasal spray with Auckland University, other bits and pieces. Animal health was 5% of our growth. Next year, they'll be between 10 and 15%. It takes a while to get the approvals, takes a while to collect all the data. They have literally got tens of thousands of pages of data on food conversion ratios. Okay, so we want the animal to eat less food to put on more weight. And if it's not expending energy to compete with the bacteria, to fight the bacteria, it can do that. So Zuno and the environment, we've had outstanding results, and we're starting to get buy-in from large poultry and pig producers. So watch that one. It's going to be really big in the next year. You know, the veterinary approvals are actually harder to get than hospital approvals. It's bizarre, but veterinary approvals are very hard to get. New sites. Okay, I'm about to sign a lease on a beautiful building in New Jersey, warehouse and office, big operation, and that will be our base for North America and South America. So really looking forward to being able to visit there personally. Landlord's paying for the fit out. We got a good deal because there's a lot of empty space at the moment, but it's a really beautiful building, pharmaceutical grade. So watch the US as well, because we've got some big things coming down the line there as well. We've set up a company in Shanghai. One of the reasons we had to have a company over there, I was a bit reluctant initially, was that the Chinese governments, local governments, national governments cannot pay companies overseas. So we needed to have a local company with a local bank account so we could do government business there, university business, education, childcare, military, all those government departments up there. So that's why we set the company up there. It's all established now. It's in Shanghai, and it's a wholly owned foreign enterprise. We don't have to have a local partner. It's 100% owned. And we're setting up a new office in the Middle East as well, Dubai, because we really want to start and accelerate growth in the Middle East. Several new distributors, the company and I up there, and things are looking good there as well. So the testing is just ongoing. We test all the time. We improve our products all the time. It's just ongoing. And we're also investing a lot in customer service. A lot of you will be aware that our customer service went down the toilet when we got 30,000 orders in 1 hour back in March, and we just couldn't cope. So we're well prepared if that was to happen again, and that's why we're holding 13 million in stock. So we're not ever going to get caught with our pants down ever again if there's a major demand for the product. So so we're spending a lot of money on customer service, new systems and staff. Shall we go on to the tendencies now? So, Paul, do you want to talk about this, or have we already said enough?
I think it's probably just worth pointing out in our second half that we did 36.614 million revenues and a GP of 27.4. So, as I said before, when we have high volumes of revenues and the right product mix, we can turn out very good gross profits, and that was demonstrated in the second half with 74.9%. Our profit for the second half was 21.14 million. That was actually a 57.7% return. Obviously better than the full year out, the full year at 53.2%. So a very good second half for the business, obviously.
Okay, so some questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question via the phones, you will need to press the star key followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to ask a question via the webcast, please type your question into the Ask a Question box. We will begin with webcast questions. Your first question, can you provide any forward guidance for the current quarter and F2021 with B2B and B2C sales?
Yes, okay. Now, everyone's asking me for forward guidance. Because we're such a growth company at the moment, I'm really reluctant to put too many numbers around it, because the last thing I want to do is to grossly overestimate it, and then I come back and we have to restate earnings, and I don't want to grossly underestimate it either. But I can tell you that I'm very optimistic, and there's a lot of better things I could be doing than sitting here at Zuno. And I wouldn't be here if I didn't really believe in this company and its future prospects. And our revenues in the 21 year will be better than the 20 year. But I'm not prepared to go on the record and say by how much yet. Maybe at the end of the year. Maybe December.
Thank you. Your next webcast question. Could you please update us on the Turtle Wax deal negotiated last year?
Okay, so Turtle Wax has been very disappointing. They're a very traditional, old-fashioned company. They hadn't launched a new product in 10 years. I put the hot poker up them a while ago, and I said to them, look, if you can't sell the product in the current environment of COVID-19, you're never going to be able to sell it. They actually agreed. So while we haven't ended the relationship officially, the relationship is now on hold, and we are free to deal with other automotive companies, and we are dealing with some already.
Thank you. Your next question, what is the relationship between Zuno and Zuno Animal Health Company?
Okay, they are a distributor. We have a distribution agreement with the Zuno Animal Health Company. We have no ownership in them. We haven't loaned them any money. They haven't asked for any money. They are independent from us. They approached me a few years ago, and they asked me if they could set up a business in the animal health area and grow that. At the time, we were probably a little bit under-resourced, so I was very happy, and they have done a spectacular job. It's not a great thing to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning in the poultry sheds fogging Zuno or in the pig pens with the African swine fever in rural China or in Iowa. It's a tough job. So they have done a spectacular job, and they have our full support.
Thank you. Your next webcast question. Can you comment, please, on the likely nature and scale of revenue post the COVID effect?
Well, I believe that the COVID effect is probably going to be here for a while anyway. We've got the winter coming on in the Northern Hemisphere. COVID loves the cold. It will grow again in the... It will be on and off for the next few years, I believe. But what's happened is now that businesses globally realise that their customers now demand more hygienic premises, cleaner premises. So and our product is a defensive product. It's designed to stop things happening. That's why we're having a lot of success at the moment in public transport, areas like that. I don't believe there's going to be a huge drop-off. There'll be some drop-off perhaps, but other areas of the business like animal health will improve. And look, we've still only scratched the surface. We've just come off a good year, but we are still a very small company on a global scale. We're a small company with a smart technology, and we've got some big ideas.
Thank you. Your next question, can you speak to the reasons why global multinational companies chose to purchase Zuno?
Okay, because they were looking for a product that a smarter technology that offered longevity. So the business model of other chemical companies, if you like, is to sell millions of litres of product that has to be sprayed and fogged around all day, every day. Our business model is to sell a smarter technology that you use less of it, it's more effective, and it lasts a long time. So that is why we attracted the imagination of a lot of large global companies. And I can tell you now that we have got enormous loyalty amongst those companies. They do their own testing as well. They don't believe everything we tell them. They go away and they do their own laboratory testing. They do their own in-field testing as well. And all the results have come back spectacularly well. So we're coming onto the radar now with a lot of these big companies. They want the technology. It's almost to a point that they feel that they have to have it to be competitive. Okay.
Thank you. Your next question, what has happened to the UK online business? Is it out of stock or is it a labelling issue? Can you update us on the 30-day testing protocol issue?
Okay, so it's a legal issue. Okay, it's we're not out of stock. We've got stock in the warehouse there. The trading standards in the UK received complaints from large pharmaceutical companies around our 30-day claim. Even though we've got huge amount of testing to support the 30-day claim, we agreed to withdraw the 30-day claim temporarily only and only in the UK while we did more testing to satisfy trading standards. And the trading standards have been really good to deal with. They like our product. They want it to be real. One of the other issues that we had was because we were making specific COVID-19 claims, they wanted us to reclassify as a drug or a medicine. We can make general antibacterial and viral claims, but we weren't able to make specific COVID claims. So we've withdrawn that claim as well, but we'll be out batting again soon. We are going to be presenting the code to trading standards early September. All our global testing, as well as new testing in the UK, and if they're satisfied, we'll be able to make the claim again. Also, at the presentation, we're going to be having people there from the London Underground and some property companies as well that are going to be presenting their independent testing and reports as well. So we have a lot of support in that area. You've got to remember also that in this antibacterial viral area, there's no such thing as a 30-day claim. So for a company to come out and make the claim, naturally we were going to get some attention from large competitors. Okay?
Thank you. Your next question, could you please talk about the choke points in the supply chains, both inbound and outbound, and what can be done to alleviate them?
Well, I think we have alleviated them. Like the main issues were bottles and product, and now we're making our own raw material in the USA. There's no issue at all with product, and we're also manufacturing our own plastic bottles as well. So whatever issues we had on the supply chain, I think we've sorted them out. I suppose the only other issue is transportation, because air transport got difficult there for a while and expensive. And that's one of the reasons we're holding 13 million in stock. So if we do get a supply chain issue again around transportation, at least we have a major buffer.
Thank you. Your next webcast question, what are the gross margins for animal health?
They are not as high as normal. They are probably around 60%. One of the reasons is it's a more price-sensitive area, okay? Spraying lots of product into a poultry shed or pig pen, it's not as profitable as a train or an aircraft carrier. So we sell to animal health at a lower cost, so they can build it in the margin for themselves, and hence we get less. But what will happen is it'll be made up for in the future in volume, because animal health is a big volume area and it's also repeat monthly business. Once you get locked into a farm or a processing plant or a large group like Ingham's, for instance, it's just monthly bulk orders of product. So it's quite easy to manage.
Thank you. We will now go to phone questions before returning to the webcast questions. Your first phone questions come from Raju Ahmed from CCZ Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, Paul. I hope you guys are well. A couple of questions here. Let's go to the gross margin. Very strong margin, 75%. And I think, Paul, Ravlich, you mentioned that it's a function of the level of volume that you have across different product types, or a function of volume and product mix. Would it be fair to assume 75% margin in FY21, or should it be some other number or range that you can guide us to?
Well, as Paul said, we haven't given any guidance on our numbers for FY21 or beyond, but we're confident that the sort of margins we are getting can be maintained if we sell in volume and it's in the right product mix. And the right product mix is we make better margins if we sell in bulk, whether it's 1,000 litre totes or 5 litre totes compared to online and finished products. So certainly with repeat customers, you'd like to think that we'll be able to maintain that sort of gross margin percentage going forward.
Right. So correct me if I misunderstood previously. I think you mentioned that animal health will be about 10 to 15% of revenue in FY21, something of that nature. So if it's a lower margin business, so is that sort of then indicating that you're going to have some very strong higher margin sales as well to keep that 75%, or am I completely off track here?
No. No, you're on track, but it deserves an answer. You're right. Like our margins in Zero Animal Health will not be as high, but we're going to pick it up. We're going to pick it up elsewhere because our margins in the USA and the UK and the EU online business are going to be up in the 80s. So what we're going to lose on the swing, we're going to gain on the roundabouts.
Okay, all right, so that's good to know, so very good on that front. The second sort of question set is around the cost line item below your gross profit. Have the FY20 or second half FY20 EBITDA numbers, did it include any one-off type costs in there that may not be repeated in FY21 or beyond?
No.
I don't think so, no.
No, there weren't really any one-off costs. We've got a low operating cost base. We've got fixed costs, which are fairly low, and obviously our variable costs rise with revenues going up. But the throughput from gross profit is extremely high. And as Paul and I have said, look, it depends on the product mix, online versus animal health versus bulk. You can sell more of the bulk, then your gross margins will go up. And certainly that's an easier product for us to sell, et cetera.
Yeah, okay. So if I look at FY20, I mean, the delta between the gross profit and the EBITDA, let's say, keep it simple, $7.5 million, is $15 million below gross profit cost number the right number going forward, or do you think that needs to materially grow in the forward years given your growth profile?
Well, as we said before, Raj, we haven't, we're not disclosing our full year guided figures, but certainly we're confident of a positive outlook for FY21 and beyond, and building on this year's numbers So that's the revenues and gross profit and net profit. So that will be our focus for this year.
Raj,
and we're confident that we can move forward on it.
Yeah, look, it's Paul Hislop again. Now, where we're probably going to increase our costs is in staff. We need more people. We need more people in the USA, in the UK, and the EU. We need more people in the Middle East, and we need more people in New Zealand. So our staff costs will increase, but it will be proportionate to the revenue growth. So I think the percentages will stay the same, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, okay, understood. All right, just one or two more questions, but let's move away from numbers. Very recently, Australian market, there was another incident of the avian influenza. I think it was in Victoria. It's clear that the swine flu or the avian influenza, I mean, the animal health sector issues, they aren't going to go away. Are you seeing what you're seeing in terms of opportunity here? I presume there are other companies seeing the same thing. What is the competitive environment? And are there sort of competing products that you need to factor in your sales strategy?
Look, the animal health issues, African swine fever, avian flu, they're going to be around forever, and there'll be more, okay? The more intensive the farming, the more prone animals are to disease. Now, so that area is only going to grow. Now, as far as competitive products are concerned, I don't know what's coming down the line. I'm not sure, to be honest. I focus on our technology, on improving what we have. We focus on what we do. I haven't got time to be researching what other people are doing. I keep an eye on it, obviously, but I focus on our business, on our product and our technology. So I don't know what else is out there, I'm sure this copycat and products are coming along. That's why we work so hard to stay ahead of the market with testing and data generation and things like that.
Okay. All right. Understood. And the very last one is around public transport environment. You've had some very good successes with I think it was Transport for London, and then the other day we saw an article about a major school bus service in the US. It's clearly a massive opportunity on that front. What is your interaction level today with some of these prospective customers? I mean, in terms of the volume of interaction, if you can give us an idea, versus what it was maybe 3 or 4 months ago. Are you seeing an exponential type growth in these interactions, or has been flatlined?
Yeah, we are, and you're talking about Greyhound buses in the US and all the school buses in the US as well, all those yellow buses. Buses, trains, and aeroplanes and ships are going to be a huge part of our business. We're on some aeroplanes now. We're in with some airlines. We're in a lot of airports all around the world. Hong Kong Airport, Texas Airports. We're in a lot of airports in the UK. So the public transport is it's almost becoming a dedicated sales channel that we might even put an expert team on just to focus on transportation.
Okay, that's good to hear. I might leave it there. So both of you gents, thanks very much for your time.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next phone question comes from Michael Pegum from JB Advisory Partners. Please go ahead.
Well, hi, Paul. And Paul, congratulations on a stellar result.
Thanks, Michael.
Just a couple of questions, just more, you obviously gave us a bit of outline in relation to the UK regulatory environment. You obviously gone in-house now in the US, just how you're progressing on the regulatory landscape with the likes of the EPA and others?
Yeah, well, the product already has an EPA registration in the US, so there's nowhere we can't sell our product in the US. Our skin contact products are all registered with the FDA, so we don't have any issues there. The only issue we have in the US at the moment is we can't make a COVID claim in the US. However, we are doing testing at the moment, and it's going to take a few weeks. And when we are through the testing, as long as it's successful, the EPA will allow us to make the claim. But in the meantime, I've been talking to some very senior people in the US within the EPA. They have looked at our COVID-19 testing from elsewhere in the world, and they're considering giving us an emergency approval.
No, it's good to hear. Good to hear. Yeah. Just my next question. Your payout ratio, you obviously paid out 3.2 cents a share, which represents about 30% payout ratio. Congratulations on your maiden dividend. How do we think about dividend payout ratios going forward? Would it be sitting around 30% of earnings, or do we see that sort of growing over time?
Well, Michael, it would depend how much cash we have at the time. I like cash in the bank as well. I like to have that from a security point of view. When I grew the business as a private company, I had no money, I was broke. Now I like having cash in the bank in case, you know, rainy day money. We've got no debt, and I always keep the company debt-free as long as I'm the CEO. So dividends, we will pay more. We will pay more as it dictates. I didn't want to pay a higher dividend this time simply because I didn't want to make a rod for our back next year, if you know what I mean. So it really depends on what's going on at the time. But if we've got a lot of money in the bank and there's no immediate expenditure, we will certainly look at paying an interim dividend at the end of the after the first 6 months as well. We may pay out an interim dividend as well. So dividends hopefully are here to stay, but I just want to make sure we protect our cash position as well.
Fair enough. Just probably pointing to, obviously, maybe a sustainability question on the business, and maybe on the B2B, and maybe Paul Ravlich might be able to help me on this, is where do you sort of see recurring revenue as a percentage of total revenue? And is that growing currently?
Look, Michael, it's Paul. Paul Hislop. It's growing all the time. Like, our major customers are ordering, in some cases, 3 or 4 times a month. Like, First Group in the US, Bunzl, Compass Group, all these companies reordering all the time. Our New Zealand, Australia customers, Johns Lyng, First Defence in Melbourne, they're ordering off every month, and sometimes twice a month. So one-off orders have dropped away to virtually zero, and now a very high percentage of it is recurring revenue.
Okay, lovely. Thanks very much. I'll leave it there. And again, congratulations on a great result.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. We will now return to webcast questions. Your next webcast question. With 70% alcohol required for approval by regulators, how will we go about approval for our hand sanitizer?
Okay, so firstly, 70% alcohol is not required by regulators. What happens is, the World Health Organization issues guidelines for a hand sanitizer, but it should be at least 62% alcohol. But it is not a regulatory requirement. Okay? So we find we are getting enormous demand for an alcohol-free hand sanitizer. I'm not targeting healthcare. I don't care if we never sell any product to hospitals. They don't pay. They pay you every 6 months, for instance. They want the product for nothing. It's a low margin hard business. If I'd gone after healthcare, I would have gone broke by now, okay? So forget healthcare, it's a waste of time. We'll get into healthcare with our service products for sure. We are already in healthcare with our service product in certain parts of the world, including the UK. Our hand sanitizer, we won't get into healthcare because they follow the World Health Organization guidelines of 63% alcohol. Most doctors and nurses in the developed countries still follow the infection control protocols developed by Florence Nightingale during the Crimean War, which was high alcohol. Developing countries like China, India, Middle East, these types of countries will be buying our hand sanitizer for healthcare. In fact, in China, we have just passed the highest grade possible test for hand sanitizer for use in hospitals. Okay.
Thank you. Your next question, what is the current run rate of sales per month that you are seeing so far in FY21?
I don't want to give the guidance, to be honest, on that, but I would just say that we're very happy where we are positioned after the first 2 months.
Thank you. Your next question. There is a big opportunity to expand in the B2C market. Are you looking to capitalise on this opportunity? And if so, what is the plan for expansion?
Okay, so B2C is the consumer market. At the moment, our strategy is to sell online, where we get about an 85% GP or something like that. It's enormous. If we sold at Woolworths or Coles or Chemist Warehouse or all these outlets, we'd be down in the 30s if we were lucky, okay? They don't pay us for 3 months. We have to contribute to their advertising, their marketing. We pay listing fees, merchandising fees. They think up fees all the time. So really, I can't be bothered with it, to be honest. I haven't got the patience for it. It's expensive. It would mean I'd have to employ a lot more staff to run that side of the business. So at this point in time, it is really of no interest.
Thank you. Your next question. Lots of B2C in the pipeline. How will you cope with demand?
Well, we're making our own bottles, okay, and we are building our stocks. Our B2C main focus is online, obviously. It's going to be North America. It's going to be China. It's going to be Australia, New Zealand. Hong Kong, we do a lot B2C at the moment, and the UK and the EU. All those places now we have the ability to package locally. So if somebody ordered 5 million bottles today, we can supply them within probably 3 weeks. So we are planning ahead for B2C, and we are picking the right channel partners like Amazon and Alibaba and JD to partner with to sell in those markets.
Thank you. Your next question. Please, could you provide some information on the outlook for FY21, even if that is just on revenue?
Look, I'd rather not talk revenue numbers for FY21. I've stated before that we're a huge growth business at the moment. I don't want to have to restate earnings in 6 months or 9 months. We may be in a position to give a forecast towards the end of this calendar year, and I would rather just go quiet on it for now, except to say that I'm confident that our numbers for FY21 will exceed FY20. By how much, I'm not really prepared to say.
Thank you. Your next question. Can you elaborate on average order size and unit volumes for the B2B markets, as well as customer concentration?
B2B orders, we get orders anywhere from $20,000 to $1 million. Okay. Customers are taking it in 1,000-litre totes, 5-litre containers, 20-litre containers. Off the top of my head, the B2B average order would be, I would think it would be between $60,000 and $100,000 per order.
Thank you. Your next question. Have you identified new key positions within the company that need to be filled to help the company manage and optimise growth whilst the opportunities are as great as they still are?
Good question. And we are bringing new people in. We've got an Australia, New Zealand general manager now, Paul Ravitch. We've got a Paul Morrison, rather. We've all these Pauls in the company, it's confusing. We've got a manager in the UK and the EU, James Mills, and we've got a manager in the Middle East, India and Africa, and Dennis Montgomery. So these people are direct support for me. Oh, and we've got a good guy in the USA as well, Tom French. These people are around to support my efforts, so they take a bit of the workload off me, for instance. But certainly, we're looking for good people all the time and new people to bring through into key positions.
Thank you. Your next question, is there likely to be any issues repatriating cash out of the Chinese operation?
Yeah, there will be, absolutely. But the good thing about Alibaba and the Alibaba pay us through Alipay and we get paid directly into our New Zealand bank accounts. When we start to do B2B business in China and we're doing invoice and cash collection in China, there will be an issue in how we get that money back to New Zealand, and we will have to work that issue out. I don't have the answer yet, but we will work it out. We've got a very good lawyer in China who specialises in helping New Zealand and Australian businesses grow into China. So he's got some ideas how we can do that. But it's a good question. It's a good question, and it will be an issue, and it is a concern.
Thank you. Your next question. Are sales on track to continue the strong performance from last quarter into this quarter and beyond?
Yes, they are.
Thank you. Your next question. Can you talk about protection of intellectual property in relation to product formulation?
Yes, we can. And once again, we have several unique formulations and a primary active ingredient in all of those formulations. We don't protect the product via patent. It's too difficult. You'll spend all your time in court defending the patents, but we protect it by trade secrets. Because we manufacture a specific concentrate, and then we take that concentrate elsewhere and we blend it in other facilities, very few people in the organisation know the whole process. In fact, Lou McKinnon and myself are really the only people in the organisation who know the whole process.
Thank you. Your next question. Please comment on current momentum, monthly sales over the past 3 calendar months.
I don't want to put numbers around it, but we've got momentum is there. and we're very satisfied with the performance over the last few months.
Thank you. Your next question, can you speak to some of the traction you are seeing in the USA?
Well, we only took over the USA on July the 1st, and we are already seeing a huge change, and we've got lots of momentum there. I've signed up about 4 or 5 new sub-distributors in the USA, all very strong companies, and we expect the USA to be a major contributor to our revenues in the next financial year. It's looking very solid there. Very good.
Thank you. Your next question, can you please elaborate a little bit about key competitors?
Well, when we talk about competitors in our particular space, which is long-lasting antibacterial protection, we don't come up against anybody, to be honest. I don't want to sound arrogant, but we don't really come up against any other companies that worry us. When we're pitching for business or we're pitching for a large customer, it's more companies like Ecolabs, Johnson Diversey, Johnson & Johnson, but they don't have any products like ours anyway, so it's really hard to compare it with. But without sounding arrogant, because I'm not arrogant, and I am aware that there will be competitors, but we're not seeing anyone at the moment who's snapping at our heels.
Thank you. Your next question, why are we out of stock on the UK website?
I've answered that one already. It's a legal issue with trading standards.
Thank you. Your next question, any material sales in the USA in the pipeline? What happened to New York Underground trial?
Well, we're selling product to the New York Underground. Okay, so that's what's happened with the trial. Look, I suppose I'm trying to keep our company a little bit understated. Every time we pick up a new customer, I don't want to go out and crow to the world about it. In the world at the moment, there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of unemployment, there's a lot of bad things happening. Our company is doing particularly well, and I'd rather keep the company understated, plodding along, and let's do the talking with the numbers that we generate.
Thank you. Your next question, does the nasal spray have to go through TGA, FDA and other approval? What is the timeline for this?
Look, it'll depend on the claims that we make, but I'm dealing with one of the top ear, nose and throat men in Australasia, okay? And he is a part-time lecturer at Auckland University. Preliminary tests have been fantastic. It'll all depend on the claims that we make around the nasal spray as to what sort of regulatory approval we have to have. It's very early days.
Thank you. Your next question, will you be updating the market on the sales figures every quarter going forward?
No, we won't. When we get out of the 4C, we won't be updating the market every quarter. We'll be updating the market every 6 months, or if we get a material sale, we'll update the market when we get a material sale. But the 4Cs are a very unfair way to inform the market. It puts a lot of pressure on the company to cram sales into the quarter to get a good result. And sometimes when you have to cram things in and expedite, you lose a little bit of your negotiating power. So I'll be very pleased we don't have to file those 4Cs anymore. And so will Paul Radler. He's nodding his head.
Thank you. Your next question, can you speak to the issues surrounding the Z71 Microbe Shield COVID 30-day claims in the US and UK?
Okay, so firstly, we have never made a 30-day claim around the Z71 product around COVID. Okay, the only claim that we have ever made is that Z71 is effective against COVID-19. Unfortunately, some of our distributors or some of the customers we sell to, they go out and make the claim and they get themselves into trouble and they get us into trouble. I say that, but recently we have got test results on COVID-19 on the human strain with our product that showed it to be 100% effective after 30 days. But we have not made a big song and dance about that yet, because it is from a country that is not that does not operate a first world laboratory. So I would rather leave that claim until we have a test result from a first world laboratory country, if you know what I mean.
Thank you. Your next question. Do you have any plan to increase the management depth and marketing coverage?
Yes, on both counts. We're employing new marketing people at the moment. We're employing new customer services and people at the moment. Management, we are always looking for new people who can come in, bringing in younger people. I'm trying to bring down the average age of the company. Okay, so absolutely, on all counts, looking for good people.
Thank you. Your next question. With the outbreak of avian flu in chicken populations in Australia, has that produced additional sales leads for Zunu Animal Health?
Yes, it absolutely has. And it's very awkward at the moment because they can't get to Australia. Okay, it's impossible. So to a certain extent, we are losing some opportunities through not being able to be in Australia, but certainly it will be bringing big opportunities.
Thank you. Your next question, in which countries do you foresee the most growth in animal health?
I think it'll be the USA. We've had some spectacular results over there in the pig business, where we were doing trials in some large weaner sheds, where we, and these are weaner farms that grow 2 million pigs every quarter, for instance, where with Zuno in the sheds, the mortality rate dropped from 4% to under 1%. So I think we're going to get some really stunning results out of the US. China, of course, with the African swine fever. Australia, of course, as well, but I think the USA, we've got some really good opportunities over there at the moment.
Thank you. Your next question. Any progress with selling to cruise line companies, given sales to some airlines?
Yes, we've started to sell to some of the small cruise, adventure cruise line companies, especially the ones that operate out of New Zealand. So we have made a start there. Once again, the large chemical companies tend to tie up the major cruise line companies as a long-term supply contracts, but we are making progress, and we are making progress in the airline industry as well. Some quite dramatic progress, and we might be in a position to be able to release some news soon on that.
Thank you. Your next question, is there any plan to list in the USA or outside of the ASX?
Funny you say that. I got approached the other day by a guy who's one of the head people at JP Morgan in the US, and he's trying to encourage us to take the company up to the NASDAQ board. But at this stage, we're staying on the ASX. No plans to go anywhere else.
Thank you. Your next question. How much damage do you feel that ABC recently did to Zuno's reputation? Also, there seems to be some strong scepticism about how Zumo works and its effectiveness.
Look, I don't think they did any damage at all, to be honest. I got very little bad feedback, and our sales actually increased after the broadcast article. So, no issue at all. And look, our test results speak for themselves. So I don't need to tell people how good the product is all the time. When you look at some of the companies that are buying our product now, they do their own testing, they do their own trials, they do their own homework. We had a situation a while ago where we sold product to a very large company, one of the biggest companies in the world, actually, in 242 locations globally. They did 4 months due diligence on our product before they bought it. So I can't say who they are, but they did 4 months due diligence. So there you are.
Thank you. Your next question, any loss due to Eagle Health distribution deal for China?
No. Nothing. We picked
Thank
it up
you.
Elsewhere. We picked it up elsewhere, yep.
Thank you. Your next question, how much additional investment needs to be made into fixed overheads to support continued growth in the years ahead?
I don't know. It really depends how fast we grow, but certainly we've got money to do that anyway. Like if we need to grow, we can. One of the reasons that we have that we're always in a fairly strong cash position is we get people to pay up front, so for the product. So, well, most people pay up front, but look, if no matter what the growth is, we can handle it financially.
Thank you. Your next question, any plans to be acquired or interest from global players?
Look, we talk to people all the time. We get a lot of people sniffing around. We're not for sale. I'm not interested in buying any other companies. We're focusing on our business, our product, our technology, and at this stage, we have not received any offers from other companies, although it's also fair to say that we've had a lot of interest.
Thank you.
Your
next question, what is Bank of America and Merrill Lynch's intentions, and do you have communications with them?
No. Don't know their intentions, don't know anything about them. Had no communication with them at all. Don't know what their intentions are.
Thank you. Your next question. You have done tests against the feline surrogate for coronavirus. Would you consider testing it for the actual COVID-19 strain?
We have already, and it's also effective against the actual strain as well. The actual strain is quite hard to procure because it's very dangerous, obviously, so most laboratories use the surrogate. But we have done testing already, like COVID-19 and like a lot of viruses, they're not hard to kill. They're quite easy to kill. But it's hard to stop them spreading. That's the problem. So if you miss a bit in a room, it'll just re-energize very quickly, like rabbits breeding almost. Not hard to kill it, but you've got to get all of it to stop it. That's the problem. That's the big issue with it.
Thank you. Your next question, is it intended to pay a circa 3-cent dividend every 6 months?
Look, it's a possibility. I can't say for certain at the moment. We will certainly look at an interim dividend at the 6 month point, but it really depends on the situation at the time.
Thank you. Your next question, are large customers on long-term supply contracts?
Yes, they are.
Thank you. Your next question, what requirements causes a business to choose a competitor over Zuno?
Look, I don't know, to be honest, but I have found that where we go after business, we very seldom miss it. So we get a lot of the business that we go after. It might be price, for instance, because we are more expensive. But that could be the only reason, I believe.
Thank you. Your next question. Why did Paul choose to sell 10% shares at the time he did?
Well, it's probably my business, to be honest, but I own 51% of the company, so there was a perception out there that it was a private-public company, and I was totally dominant in the company. So Regal made me an offer, and I accepted it. It was no one else's business, actually, but my own.
Thank you. Your next question. Dividend is currently unfranked. Any plans to make dividends franked at some time in the future? Do NZ citizens have any tax benefits for receiving the dividend that Australian-based residents do not have access to, i.e. any form of accessing tax credits paid by the company?
Look, I'll let Paul Ravlich answer that one.
Okay, thank you. Look, it depends on what taxes have been paid in the past, so the dividend, and so there's imputation credits and dividends can be applied, imputation credits can be applied to those dividends. So in Australia, there's no, the dividend is unfranked at the moment, and we're just assessing how the dividend will be paid in New Zealand. So there's probably not a lot I can really answer more on that. But
it may be in this round of dividends, because the losses were incurred in New Zealand, that the New Zealand shareholders might have an advantage over the Australians from a taxation point of view. But that will be for this time only, because the tax losses have all been used up. Okay?
Thank you. Your next question. April 2020 revenue was a record month in terms of revenue. Are you able to provide some flavour on the drivers behind it? For example, a specific large order.
We just got lots of large orders, to be honest. Lots of large orders. I can't think of anything really specific, but we got 30,000 orders online through the ABC after we were on the morning show TV in Australia. But it was just a huge month for us. It was really crazy. It was a one-off month at the time. It was just lots of orders.
Thank you. Your next question. Will there be any new product lines introduced this year or in 2021?
Yes, we're going to be introducing a face mask in the next couple of months, Zuno-treated face mask. So it will be antimicrobial. And we've got some ideas for some other products as well, but currently we're just really focusing on what we've got and what we're selling at the moment.
Thank you. Your next question. Are you going forward with filter opportunities? For example, water filtration and sanitation?
Yes, we are, and we're working with a few companies at the moment in those areas and in the air filtration area as well.
Thank you. Your next question. Is it a risk if only two people know about the formulation?
I don't think so. As long as we don't go down on the same aircraft or things like that. No, look, I don't think it's a risk. But alternatively, we have written all the formulations down and they sit in our lawyer's safe, okay? I had to do that as part of going public, the auditor insisted on. So we do have that backup option.
Thank you. Your next question. Given the vastly better margins and your plans to run B2C in-house without selling via the major chains, have you developed your own marketing plan to expand sales?
Yes, we have. And we're developing new plans all the time. We have we're even in the process of getting government grants from the New Zealand government to help our marketing strategies overseas. They are prepared to invest quite heavily in us engaging marketing and public relations and all sorts of people in the US, the UK, and in China as well. So New Zealand government, they've got the checkbook out and they're prepared to write us some big checks.
Thank you. Your next question. How will Alibaba help promote Zumo products on their sales channel, considering there are other sanitizer and antibacterial products listed through Alibaba?
Well, we will be the genuine flagship New Zealand store, and there will be some copycat products on there, but we are also going to get a letter from the New Zealand government that will also be on our flagship store, showing that we are the genuine product.
Thank you. Your next question. Is your ultimate growth goal to develop the company to have a market cap of over $1 billion?
I don't think about numbers, to be honest. It's just we want to keep growing the business, obviously, and we'll end up where we end up. It might be $1 billion, it might be $500 million, it might be $5 billion. I don't think about it, to be honest. I'm enjoying the work. I love the job. I love the product. What I'm really satisfied about is, you know, when I started the company 14 years ago to where we are now, it's very satisfying, and hopefully I'll be around for a while.
Thank you. You had mentioned that you've never made 30-day claims on Z71 Microbe Shield. What product are the 30-day claims on?
No, that was misunderstood. We do make 30-day claims on 30-day on Zuno Z71 Microbe Shield, but we don't make 30-day claims against COVID-19.
Thank you. Your next question. With recent new COVID-19 outbreaks in New Zealand and China potentially linked to virus transmission on imported refrigerated or frozen products, is Zuno exploring a potential market opportunity in this area for treating imports?
Yes, we're already doing that. Absolutely, we're doing that. Fogging containers. We're talking to quarantine services. Absolutely, we are doing that at the moment.
Thank you. Your next question. You've been positively referencing your expectations of FY21 with FY20, but how does it compare with the June quarter average, given that 97% of gross profit in FY20 was generated in the last 6 months?
Actually, I don't understand the question, to be honest, but I'm not going to be drawn into giving revenue guidance for 21. We may be in a position to do it later in the year, but I don't want to go out on a limb. I'm not prepared to go out on a limb at the moment. We're a conservative company. I'd rather be under the radar, understated, and surprise the market with good results or bad results. So, but I'm not going to be drawn on that type of thing.
Thank you. Your next question, is there a plan to have products listed on Amazon?
Yes, we'll be on Amazon in the UK, EU, the USA very shortly.
Thank you. Your next question, how long is the Z71 microbe shield effective against COVID-19 for?
Okay, well, we don't make any claims around longevity, but we do have a test result from an independent laboratory that states it's effective for up to 30 days, but I'm not going to make the claim because the particular laboratory, I'm not familiar with it enough, so, or the people behind it.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I will now hand back for closing remarks.
Right. Well, I'd just like to thank everybody and the shareholders that are on the line and the investors that are on the line can rest assured that everyone in the Zuno company, they work really hard from the top down. We're all shareholders in the company ourselves, and we all behave like shareholder partners. No one watches their clock or their watch. It's a great culture in the company. Everyone works hard, and I just want everyone to understand that. And we're very mindful of the privileged position that we're in, having 7,000 partners in the business that rely on us to do the right thing. And we'll always try and do the right thing by our shareholders. That's about it, really.
Thank you. That does conclude the conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.